Blog Talk Radio.
I'm terribly sorry, sir, but your credit card
has
been declined.
Your unemployment benefits ran out two weeks ago.
What do you mean I'm overdrawn?
2 weeks ago.
I still have checks left. Checks
2 weeks
left.
Ago.
Too much month left over at the end of the money? Bad credit holding you back? Want to become a real estate investor but haven't won the lottery? Learn how to fix your credit. Get out of debt and build true financial independence with real estate in 2 hours a week. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She'll show you how, without winning the lottery or working 10 jobs. And here's your host, Heather Wagenhall.
Oh, I want to be rich.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. Welcome to the broadcast this fabulous Saturday, December 5th. How are we doing with our finances this week? Are we managing our money effectively? Have we been able to successfully keep our finances in order? Have we been able to affirm no seasonal exceptions in our lives, or have we given way to the mommy I want and is Santa bringing me this? Well, if you have, that's okay, because today we're going to talk about credit. Our key this week is create credit, and I'm so excited with all of the things that we have on today's show. If you are joining us for the first time, thank you so much for tuning in. And welcome to the broadcast. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And for this Saturday, December 5th, we are broadcasting live from the HQ Real Estate and Investment Offices right here in Scottsdale, Arizona. And this Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and every Saturday at 9 a.m. and every Wednesday at 10, we bring you the Unlock Your Wealth Radio program and talk about crisis management and financial wellness tools designed to help everyone, man, woman, and child alike, manage their finances and attitudes for the single purpose of creating financial independence. And that's the ring of somebody who didn't turn off her cell phone before she started her broadcast. Anybody have any idea who that might have been? Yes. The hostess with the not telephone etiquette mostess. That'd be me. But anyhow, we have an incredible show planned for you today. I have two great guests. Our Investor's Edge guest is Richard Holmes, and our key guest is Jim Randall. And I'm so excited about these two today, as well as our regularly scheduled segments, our Millionaire Minute, No News by the Numbers. Karen Gurm is going to moderate our chat room silently without having to speak verbally, but only through her fingertips. She is down for the count today, so she's still hanging in there, though. She's producing the show, but she's not going to join us for News by the Numbers. And we did our best to talk Kristen into doing it, and she won't do it. So I guess you'll just have to read the paper for News by the Numbers. But we will also have lots of great information in addition to our nuts and bolts and our minutes on your money. And I have a litany of all kinds of credit card information for you that I'm going to pepper throughout the broadcast. And first off, with regard to credit card ownership, did you know that 78% of American households, about 91.1 million, had one or more credit cards at the end of last year? And that was up by over a million. In the fourth quarter of 2008, consumers over 60 years old had an average of 5.6 open bank card and retail accounts. And overall consumers had an average of 5.5 cards. A year before, the numbers were higher. Okay, for those over 60, they had an average of 6.1 cards, and American households had an average of 5.6 cards, forgive me. And that was just from March of 2009, those statistics. So we're seeing a decline in ownership of credit cards, which is kind of interesting. So, and then according to the U.S. Census, there were 159 million credit card holders in 2000, and then 173 million in 2006. And for next year, that number is projected to grow to 181 million Americans. Is that amazing? That's such an incredible number. I can't believe it. So, moving forward with some other minutes on your money, and we'll go back to some more credit statistics coming up. It pays to be true to your school. Five ways your alma mater can save you money. Now, depending on how college went for you, you were most likely either incredibly excited or incredibly sad about leaving campus, according to Sarah Winfrey. And in either case, you've returned as a faculty, staff, or your association with your college has probably just ended after graduation. And if you're like most, you participate in alumni stuff, but you let most of it sit unopened or file it straight into File 13, the ever-popular trash can, when it comes to opening your alumni mail. With the economy still in shambles and many people struggling to make ends meet, now may be the time to open some of those envelopes. Alumni associations are doing everything they can to make things better for graduates of their college during this difficult time. Amazingly enough, some of the savings are pretty substantial. There are insurance discounts, gym memberships, career counseling, travel discounts, local and national coupons, just for starters. So if you're looking to save some cash, that might be a way to go, is see what your alumni association has to offer you. Next, how do you handle peer pressure? If you remember on previous broadcasts, in dealing with some of our financial coaching clients here at the office, we find that a lot of people cave to peer pressure when it comes to spending. Now, this is by Karen Datko of Smart Spending. And she writes, your friends and family influence you. They affect the way you view life. If your friends are frugal, it's easier for you to be frugal. But if they're wrapped up in consumerism and materialism, well, it can be difficult to resist the urge to join them, and it's only natural to want to fit in. So to live happily as a nonconformist in a world filled with peer pressure, you have to learn to ignore everybody. I like the way Tom Hopkins tells everybody to just zip yourself in your own bubble. Just physically bring your hands from your sides to over top of your head as if you're zipping yourself, and he always does the zip-zip. Going into your own little world and not allowing yourself to be influenced. But here's some interesting things. One of the writers who posted to this says, I think it's nuts that coworkers make fun of people for not having a TV or not having video games or things like that. But this writer says, if anything, it ought to be praised. The most productive, least materialistic people I know are those who watch little or no television. And it says this site, meaning this guy's website, would have never been built if he was a TV watcher. Now, some guy wrote in and said he asked how to handle a situation where he wants to lead a more simpler life. And he's having trouble coping with peer pressure, and this leads to that guy's comment. He says, since we try to live frugally, we don't have a television or video games or any kind of electronic toys in our house. We try to spend time as a family, talk to each other, read books, and he helps his wife with the cooking. Says his colleagues at work tell me that he has a miserable life and that he doesn't give his family materialistic life pleasures. These sorts of words hurt him, and he says that he doesn't have a TV, and because they don't, people are making fun of him all the time. He doesn't know how to respond, and he wonders if he should even pay attention to them. He says he doesn't want to spoil his relationships at work, And because we spend a significant amount of time with people at work, that's always a tough deal. But he says that he was wondering if there's anybody that feels his pain. And he wanted to know what other people thought. And the one gentleman championed him. And you know what? I enjoy reading. I don't like TV. There's always interesting shows that I find. I like a lot of the different shows that are very oriented around like nonfiction kind of stuff, or those crime shows where they show you how they solve stuff. But ultimately, if there wasn't a TV, I certainly wouldn't miss it. I would rather read. I think that my own mind is way more vivid and creative than anything a television producer comes up with. But anyhow, I don't think his life sounds miserable, and the author of this article says it sounds idyllic, sort of the thing that people should aspire together, spending time with family, talking and reading. I bet his kids are probably some of the most well-rounded folks that you've ever seen. So we've got a lot more coming up here on the broadcast, so just stay tuned. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. We'll be right back with more after this.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com.
It says Stephen
That's
Grove
Kinesis,
is on. Is he our
K-I-N-E-S-I-S,
guest?
K-I-N-E-S-I-S Industries.
Okay, well, where is our guest?
Com.
I thought he had to go
Wait,
at 1025.
Go there, totally.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA.
Okay.
I'm the X from Boomer and X. I've been
All
test
right.
driving cars
I
for several years,
here.
But in the last 18 months, I found it difficult
Isn't that strange
to get
to have
in
Stephen
and
Grove's
out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220
what?
Pounds. Thanks to the Diradori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds.
I muted my
the
thing.
Duradori
you
program
can hear me on the air?
It's supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Diradori. Call Diradori now at 480-661-9662.
Karen Gurm here. You probably recognize me as your segment host for News by the Numbers. Did you know I am also one of the certified NLP practitioners and a financial coach here at the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation? The most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420, or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Here I am. Oh, you thought I wouldn't show up? You thought you could take your credit cards, live beyond your means. spend all you want, not budget a plan and avoid me. I'm your worst nightmare, baby. Do you know who I am? My first name is Bad, last name is Dead. I promise you, I'm the one that you'll never forget, cause I can turn your whole life into a wreck.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You're listening to Heather Wagon.
From around the way, and I slay financial dreams. Your credit card is my witness. Have you paying 20?
Have. And one of the bigger challenges is that when you buy some of these bargains that are out on the marketplace, you've got some updating to do, whether it just be zoning and code stuff to get your property in compliance with the landlord-tenant laws, or if it's actually updating it and retrofitting for that high-tech lifestyle. So let's get going here, and I would like to introduce Richard Holmes. Welcome to the broadcast, Richard. Are you there? Richard, are you there? Okay, we lost him. Richard, are
yes,
you there?
I'm here.
Oh,
God. How are you?
I'm having a heck of a time this morning with my switchboard. My brain hurts. I have no idea why all the stuff on my switchboard says the opposite of what it's supposed to be saying.
Uh-oh.
Right now it says that I'm muted, even though my microphone is hot. When I was trying to find you, I thought I was muted, but my microphone was live. So we're doing just fabulously here at the Unlock Your Wealth radio program. So welcome to the show, Richard.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on. One of the things that we encourage here on the show is building wealth through real estate. And everybody knows that I love multifamily. And I think it's a great investment. It's kind of like when you buy an apartment complex, it's like buying into a mutual fund because you diversify your investment based on the number of units that you have. So if you have a lot of units and you have a vacancy here or there, it won't destroy your overall return on that investment. And one of the things that's happening here in our market, here in Arizona, is that we are experiencing in our commercial markets now what has happened in the residential markets over the last year and a half or so. And for those that did wraps upon wraps and then transferred ownership and then did second and third mortgages, a lot of those are starting to default now. Some people are moving out of apartment complexes and into some of these very affordable foreclosures now. And so we've seen some vacancies, and as a result, the current landlords are either unable or unwilling to update their property to attract the new tenants, and they're losing them. And so now, as an investor, somebody who's looking to buy those, they're going to have to do some updating, whether it's just for zoning and code violations and to bring those up to the current standards, or they want to completely update and renovate. That's what some of our landlords are facing here, either existing landlords or new landlords new to the game. What do landlords need to know when they have to go and retrofit an apartment complex? First, we'll talk about just upgrading the code, and then we'll talk about all the cool high-tech stuff that everybody just, it seems like it's mandatory now that everybody has wireless and Wi-Fi and the big Cat 5 cabling throughout, so everything can run off of a central brain. what do people need to know when just upgrading and how they need to make considerations for all of those high-tech things that they need to put in while they're doing their zoning and compliance stuff?
What's very important is when the building was built and what is existing in the current walls, such as a building we did on 34th Street here in Manhattan. You know, they were a high-tech building to begin with when they started. In 2003, they built that building. So when buildings were built then, they were run with the structured wiring, Cat 5, Ethernet, you know, all run in one. Each room already has the ability to connect to the Internet, and it's a little easier because the way they build those buildings, it's a little bit easier for my job to come in and my crew to come in and say, okay, we need to get to this wall, we need to get that wall, and we'll make small patch holes and fish our wire, and we're in and out usually in a day. But when it's an older building, a brownstone in Brooklyn or a single-family home that was built years ago, sometimes it gets a little more complex. So the design factor of when we first walk into those doors and lay out where everything is going to go, that determines the cabling. So from an interior design standpoint, you always want yourself to look good, but at the same time, it has to be functionally proper to be able to get there with new wire. So it really takes planning ahead of time and just really making sure you know your course when you, you know, start and to finish. And that's the biggest part of it.
So about how much time does a landlord need to invest up front? Like, let's say he's considering buying an older property. What are some of the questions that he needs to be asking and having maybe, you know, an interior construction person come with him and consult? What would be some of the questions that he needs to ask before buying a building that would need to be retrofitted, say, you know, built in the 70s or stuff?
Sure. From a technology standpoint, wire is wire. You know, anyone can come in and rewire a building. So whether they're going to do a minor renovation to a kitchen and a bathroom to update it to be competitive in this market, or they're going to actually, you know, change the interior landscape of the building. Because here in New York, you know, it's metal interior, you know, beams, or I should say studs, which can be moved in place because they're not structurally sound for really anything other than decor. So here in this area, that's something really can be done no matter how old the building or how new the building is. It's just a matter of time. So when someone's looking at an older building, they're going to want to allow a lot more time for someone like myself and a low voltage crew to come in and really help update from a smart home technology standpoint. So when you're buying an older building, and especially time is money, as we all know, when you buy it to when it gets on the market, that extra 3 to 4 weeks of where people like myself will be in there to update it from a technology standpoint can turn into a lot of money. So you have to really understand your commitment from the start to decide whether it's something that's going to be of value at the you know, at the end when you're going out and selling it to the consumer. And so technology in today's market is really a big differentiating factor. You know, we'll be in around 1,500 apartments come March of 2010. Does it sound like a lot here in New York? But it's going to make a pretty big impact, and it's already starting a new trend. So, you know, we may see in 5 years, just like 5 years ago, dishwashers weren't a standard, and granite countertops weren't a standard, and now they are. Now, smart technology, smart home, multi-room music, maybe a, you know, a new trend that you know, you have to do versus an option to do, because it's very much an option right now.
So from an expenditure standpoint, as let's say, you know, for example, that I'm a landlord and I'm contemplating upgrading, what's going to be my return on my investment making that smart technology upgrade? How can I charge more now for my rental units?
The thing in today's current market, 5 years ago, could you charge an extra $100, $200, $300 a month? Possibly. Right now, it's about time. And when you're a rental company or a landlord, if you own a four-unit apartment building, having one of your apartments available for 15 days, 20 days, 30 days, or 60, 90, obviously, is good money. Now, why is that apartment available? I don't know. Maybe it needs updated in all things, or maybe it's just pretty vanilla and it's just the one across the street. And me as a new lessee, I'm going to say, you know what? They're kind of the same, similar market rent, I'm going to go across the street. But the real value is renting it faster. So if you use technology to help close a deal, it is a tremendous advantage from your guy across the street that you're competing with. What I mean by that is, since we are so-called retrofit specialists, we'll come in an apartment, 48 hours later, you have internal iPod docking stations, you have home theater, you have touch screens on your wall that control just about everything, and that person got that because they decided, okay, if you install this before I move in, I'll sign on the bottom line right now. So that's your true advantage, because you allow to close the deal a little bit faster, and that rental vacancy is less. So that's the main attraction.
Okay, so let's make another scenario. If, for example, let's say that wiring is current and for electric and plumbing, so you don't need to go and do a whole bunch of code upgrades, but you just simply want to put in the smart technology stuff. Is there a rule of thumb, like a price per square foot, that someone can estimate or appropriately budget for financially to make that a reality in their buildings?
Yes, there's a general rule of thumb that I try to stay within. You know, there may be various ways that others may try to put a number on actual value, but let's say market rent here in New York for an average one-bedroom apartment is $3,000. Might sound like a lot in other markets, but that's just the way it is in here. So with that being said, we try to stay under a month's rent in our amenities packages. So $3,000 will get from me three to four rooms of music, so your bathroom, your kitchen, your living room, your bedroom, and they'll all get smart home technology as far as in-wall docking stations. You'll be able to hook up your TV to it. And so we try to stay within a month's rent because that's how a lot of people incentivize. Say, I'll give you a free month's rent, or I'll knock off 1 month's rent at the end of your lease. So we try to stay in that same kind of lingo that salespeople understand from a real estate standpoint and also the end owner of the building. Because that's how they think. Everything's month by month, especially in a rental world. So.
Right. So 1/12 of someone's annual income can make them more marketable.
Absolutely. We can design a package that anywhere from, you know, under $1,000 to obviously multiple thousands of dollars, depending on the size of the unit. But that's the business plan that we try to stay within, because that's where it makes sense to the end user, not only the person that's moving in, because they're going to get a value of a month free from a technology standpoint, and when that person moves out, it's a value to the landlord long term because it's staying with them. So it's a win-win for everybody because it adds value to the property, it helps close a deal faster, and it's technology, and that's the, you know, evolution of real estate. You know, we had many ways technology, you know, replacing other things in the past, but this is something from a smart home standpoint. You know, there's a green element to it. You know, there's multiple ways of marketing it.
I think that's an interesting concept. You know, if you're competing against someone that has this technology and has the smart technology in their place, and you wind up going 2 or 3 months without any rent anyway, what would it matter if you spent or invested in an upgrade like that? What's the average lifespan of the low voltage wiring and all of the different things that need to go in to make a home with the smart technology? If a landlord makes that investment and he spends 1/12 of his annual revenue on that, how long is that technology going to last before he has to then redo it or upgrade it or replace it?
Right. Depending on what's installed, but something that we typically install is a multi-room audio system that also doubles as a home theater for the tenant. And then they also have in-wall iPod docking stations, or there's an external input for if you have something other than an iPod. So what we do is, from our standpoint, it can last many, many years. Speakers, internal wall amplifiers are never touched, especially rental buildings. We try to place them in a spot where when people are moving beds and large furniture in and out, it's not going to get hit. that it can last, you know, speakers have lifetime warranties. They can last a very long time. The cabling is Cat 5 cabling, Ethernet cable. As long as it's not punctured or pierced inside that wall, it can be updated and changed consistently. But the package that we've created for most of our buildings should last a minimum of 5 years. And especially for an iPod docking station in your wall, as we probably, as just about everybody who's listening knows, the bottom of an iPod dock hasn't changed much at all. For that matter, it hasn't changed even a little bit. They've updated some of the charging methods, but other than that, it stayed the same. So that's the beauty of, from an iPod standpoint. Technology may change, but they've constantly kept the docking part the same. So that's big for somebody who's investing in the project, and also great for somebody who moves in because they can use 4 different iPods when friends come over and they're entertaining. Everybody can swap in and out, so it's nice.
That's really neat. So what are the things that people definitely want to stay away from? You know, we want to encourage folks to go with this technology. We, you know, the other movement is also, you know, going green, updating your building in the green fashion. But what right now are you seeing that maybe other folks in your industry are seeing that that they're encouraging landlords to buy, but it does not provide any value, or is just a fad and it's not going to give any long-term value? What should landlords stay away from right now?
That's a good question. From a technology standpoint, you know, there's probably a lot of, I know there's a lot of local owners of buildings here that are offering various incentives. MX cards to win a free Mini Cooper if you refer, you know, the most people in your building. So those type of things obviously don't add value, and it's usually pretty straightforward. When it's something that's built into the actual apartment, you know, whether some landlords are giving away flat screen TVs, but when the tenant leaves, they take the TV with them. So there's no value into it. So a lot of the tangible items that is given directly to the tenant can be avoided by building in systems that are for the tenant, but the tenant doesn't own. So I think that's the main thing, the main philosophy that, you know, if I was owning buildings, that's what I would do. Because you want to give them something, but you don't want them to take it with them when they leave. So in a rental building, when vacancy is the number one thing, you know, that value is a one-time value, a 1 year's worth of value. So, you know, a lot of people are giving away that type of stuff from a, you know, Xbox to a, like I said, a flat screen. So, you know, that's what I think changes our marketing to that type of owner from a building standpoint, is that it's value and it has immediate impact.
I like that idea because you're right. With everything that's going on in the marketplace, a lot of landlords are being talked into marketing incentives from their marketing companies or their property management companies. And they say, oh, you're not getting any tenants, so you need to do this. You need to have giveaways. You need to do a promotion. And so that's pretty clever to bring them that value but still be able to retain it as the landlord long term. So I guess one of the nice things about that is if you do upgrade it with the smart technology and already install that widescreen or flat panel TV, you know, it's already affixed, so you know that they're not going to be damaging the walls, and, you know, they're free to use it while they're there. That would be another deal, too, that you could do that would add that benefit for the potential prospective tenant, but still retain that value for the landlord. That's pretty neat. Go ahead.
I was going to say a lot of buildings here in the New York metropolitan area are adding technology incentives, and it's not just, you know, it's directly to the individual owner or end user of the apartment. You know, one of the buildings I know is offering Wi-Fi anywhere in the building. You just pay $20 a month. You can walk anywhere in your building to the lounge, to the roof deck, and you can always have your internet, and it's yours only. It's actually secure. So there's cool little stuff that's going on out there that is really trying to, you know, help differentiate, you know, individual buildings from each other.
That's really neat. If someone wanted to get a hold of you and talk about or have you consult for them, where would they get a hold of you at? Do you have a website?
Absolutely. My website is www.ihomestech.com. It's a little funky spelling. It's my last name, so it's IHOLMESTECH.com.
Great. Now, if you could give us just a little tidbit or one last thing that would be the most important thing that you could say for our listeners to be paying attention to when it comes to doing all of this upgrading to making something fit, making their product fit the high-tech lifestyle, what would that be?
I think there's two elements to it. When you're an owner of a building, speed is everything. Quality of work obviously is important as well, but if you can get someone who can work on technology on demand, so you close a deal and say, okay, you're moving in on January 1st, and you're going to get this package from iHomes Technologies, you need to be confident that iHomes Technologies is going to be able to come in, install it, be gone 48 hours later, and it looks perfect. Whether there was some painting, some sanding, some patching to get the wire where it needs to go, but bottom line is you as an owner can't worry about that. So that's big. And then from a secondary standpoint, you want it to be useful on a grand scope. Here in New York metropolitan area, that's why we focus on iPod, iPhone users, because it happens to be the highest saturation level of iPod and iPhone users in the world. Outside of you know, New York, it's still very big, but that's why we chose that here. So making sure that it fits a larger crowd. Now, technology isn't for everybody. Some people don't like it, but it definitely is something that can help differentiate yourself. So I think those are two things to think about.
Yeah, I'm big onto the technology and having it incorporated. We have one of those, like, home packages. It's a smart home thing. And when it works, boy, it's super fabulous. And that was the one thing that I regret was, you know, saying, oh, well, I won't really need that iPod thing. And now I'm like, gosh, I wish I would have done that. Got this whole fabulous system. And that was the one thing that I left out. And here I am now, the biggest iPod user ever. Not an iPhone user, but I am an iPod user. And so that was the one thing that I wish I would have incorporated when building my system. Well, Richard, thank you so much for joining us on a Saturday and taking time out of your holiday shopping schedule to participate. iHomestech.com, and for those of you that are unable to write down his website, as always, our featured guests on the Nuts and Bolts and Key Guests are available on our website at www.unlockyourwealth.com. We have more with the Unlock Your Wealth radio program coming up right after this.
Has your cell phone or iPod ever run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Well, now you can have all the power you need. The K3 charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right now on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S industries.com.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X for Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Dirodori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Dirodori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Dirodori. Call Dirodori now at 480-661-9662.
Are you a referral partner of the Unlock Your Wealth radio program? Would you like to promote your products and your services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. Call now at 1 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Reach the people who need your help the most with the Unlock Your Wealth radio show today.
Karen Gurm here. You probably recognize me as your segment host for News by the Numbers. Did you know I am also one of the certified NLP practitioners and a financial coach here at the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation? The most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Hi, I'm Tony Stewart, driver of the number 14 Office Depot Old Spice Chevrolet, and you're listening to Heather Wagonhaws on Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagonhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am Heather, your hostess with the financial mostest, your maven of money, and today I am your credit queen. So here's some more interesting statistics on credit cards. This is debt-specific information. At the end of last year, American credit card debt reached $972 billion, and that was up 1.8% from the year before. And that's both general purpose credit cards and private label credit cards that are not owned by a bank. That number is staggering. Now, the average credit card debt per household, now, and this is whether or not you have a credit card debt, was $8,329. Most of these stats, by the way, are from the Nielsen report. And so $8,300 average household debt. The average outstanding credit card debt for households that have a credit card was $10,679. So is that making your gears grind? Are you thinking about your debt? It's up about $50 over the year before. And here's another little tidbit before we move back to some minutes on your money. The average balance per open credit card, and this is both retail and bank cards, was $1,157 at the end of last year. And that's up from 2006, okay, 11% growth in 2 years. So it's getting pretty staggering. Oh, here's a more recent one. As of March of 2009, the U.S. revolving consumer debt, and this is made up almost entirely of credit card debt, was $950 billion with a B dollars. And 13.9% of consumer disposable income went to service this debt. Does that sound like you? Are you spending 13, almost 14% of your paycheck just making payments for stuff? I'm just curious about that. We got to be thinking in these terms. Because credit can be our savior. Credit can help us leverage our way to wealth or sink us to the depths of slavery. So just some food for thought. I also have some cool quotes here. about some of the things that our founding father said. Benjamin Franklin said the refusal of King George to allow the colonies to operate an honest money system which freed the ordinary man from the clutches of money manipulators was probably the prime cause of the revolution. And most recently, the Federal Reserve Act was signed in 1913, and the public was told that the Federal Reserve System was an economic stabilizer, and inflation and economic crises were going to be a thing of the past. That's what I have to say. Are you kidding me? Yeah. The Federal Reserve's done a fabulous job. How many economic crises have been thwarted since 1913? How about, that would be none. None. Okay. Back to minutes on your money. Housing Wire. This is most recent news. Fannie Mae raises its minimum credit score to 620. Now, FHA is constituting maybe creating a credit score and a minimum credit score requirement for new buyers, new borrowers. My tongue is tied. To kind of reduce the risk to the single family insurance fund, but Fannie Mae, while FHA is contemplating this, went ahead and increased their minimum borrower credit score from 580 to 620. Now, this is for a conforming conventional loan. Okay, so conforming conventional means you're putting 20% down on your property and you're getting the best possible interest rates available. So from 580 used to be the norm, now 620 is the minimum criteria. And Brian Faith, a spokesperson at Fannie Mae, confirmed the minimum hike, adding that the adjustment reflects a careful analysis of the borrower's ability to repay their mortgage obligations over the life of the loan. It says, our experience with recently delivered loans with credit scores below 620 is that they reached a level of serious delinquency at a rate approximately 9 times higher than other acquisitions during the same period. Fannie Mae also reduced the allowable debt-to-income ratio to 45%. When executing loss mitigation efforts under the Home Affordable Modification Program, or HAMP. Under HAMP, the U.S. Treasury Department provides allocated capped incentives to servicers, which is the people that collect your monthly mortgage payment, for the modifications of loans on the verge of foreclosure. They said that high debt-to-income ratio loans also have higher levels of serious delinquency. And it's not enough to help borrowers buy a home, Faith says. We must also ensure that they can stay in the home over the long term. Okay? This is so important. And this is, I frankly don't think that they made enough of a reduction, because back when I was doing mortgages, and I've been out of the home loan thing since about 03. So for the last 6 years, I haven't written or underwritten a loan or originated a loan. I've been on the real estate side of transactions. And one of the things that blew me away was the escalation of that back end of the debt to income. Back when I was underwriting, 36% was your back end ratio, and they went 9% more than that, allowing someone to have 20% of their income going to service debt is a recipe for disaster completely. Now, for those of you who are tuning in for the first time or aren't familiar with what I'm talking about, what I'm telling you is that when an underwriter goes to look at a mortgage and whether or not somebody can afford that mortgage, one of the things that they're considering is your ability to repay the note. An underwriter has 4 layers of risk that he must sufficiently be confident in each layer. They're also referred to as the 4 C's. That's character, capacity, capital, and collateral. Capacity is your ability to repay the note. You do that through your job, income from your investments, retirement income, disability, what have you. Character is your credit, which is what today is all about. And your credit rating tells people how you have paid your bills in the past, and over time, it's a good indicator of how you will likely pay your bills in the future. And your credit score is calculated on a variety of factors, and we'll talk about that in the next hour. And that's why I'm not so big on credit score, because credit quality is more important than score, and I'll tell you in the next hour also how it gets skewed. But what they do is they take all of the debts that it shows that you owe on your credit report, like car payment, credit cards, installment loans, student loans, etc. Then they also add any alimony, child support, or separate maintenance that you have to pay out. And there's two ratios they consider. They take all that info from your credit report, they calculate your gross income, and they create these ratios. And they say your housing ratio, which is what you're able to afford on your home, plus an allowable ratio for debt, and then you get this total back-end ratio. So that used to be 36% of your income. Now it's 45. And the challenge that I had with that is because there are so many things that this ratio doesn't take into consideration. One of those ratio things that it doesn't take into consideration is, you also have to pay Uncle Sam your taxes. That's like a third of your paycheck right off the top. Then you also have other things that aren't considered debt but are ongoing expenses, like utilities, child care. I'm talking outside of child support, alimony, or separate maintenance. If your child has to go to a daycare program because they're not attending school yet, or they have an aftercare program, that's money out of your pocket. And that's not included in your ratios. And it's unfortunate because that's what got a lot of lenders in trouble, and part of why I kind of left that side of the business, because I would ask people what they're comfortable paying. I wouldn't just tell them what their max was, because everybody wants to have something bigger. We all have champagne tastes on a beer budget. And the problem is when we give the people champagne when they can only afford the beer, and who's going to say no? Are you going to say no if a lender says, you can buy a bigger house? You know that you can't afford it. You know that even though the ratios dictate it based on what they're calculating, there's so many other costs that you know personally you have that just aren't going to fly. And you kind of go, we can make this work, and you kind of buy into the idea that you need the bigger house and the whole keeping up with the Joneses, and that's what's kind of created this whole mortgage fiasco that we had here, is people bit off more than they can chew, and they had no idea that living beyond their means, a negative savings rate for the entire country, they ever thought that they would ever not have a job. Now they have no savings. You know, the average American is three paychecks away from homelessness. Three paychecks away. Now, all those other statistics that I gave you could fly right over your head, and you're like, I don't know what that means. But you know how much you make in a paycheck. Are you three paychecks away from homelessness? Could you lose everything? Or do you have an emergency fund set up? Have you gone totally nuts on your credit and started paying your bills with credit and then only making the minimum payments, escalating your debt, and burying yourself? I mean, these are the things that we have done collectively as a nation, which is what's so scary. It wasn't just the bad lenders saying, creating fraud or telling the American public that they can afford more. The American public said, at some point, at any point through the mortgage process, and it's a long one, for anybody who's bought a house, you know, it takes 30 days or so. At any point, you could say, no, this isn't right for me, and back out. But they didn't. They went ahead. So I can't vilify the bankers only, and I can't vilify the consumers only. We walked hand in hand off of the cliff like lemmings. And so now we're dealing with the ramifications of all of that. And unfortunately, the people that got up every day, went to work, lived beneath their means, were conservative with their credit, created emergency fund savings, those are the ones that are being beaten up with the value issues. And if you tune in to Wednesday's broadcast, we talked about the recent trend of those folks who stable employment, savings, and ability to repay their debt, but because they're so far underwater, they're choosing to willingly walk away from their properties. It's an amazing thing that's kind of going on these days. So just kind of something I wanted to talk to y'all about. The next Minutes on Your Money story, I have a $5 foot long, am I singing it right, success story. This is brought to us from Business Week, Subway's $5 sandwich, the brainchild of an obscure Miami franchisee, is the fast food success story of this current recession. 5 years ago, he owned two small Subway sandwich shops at either end of Miami's Jackson Memorial Hospital. After knowing that sales sagged on weekends, he came up with an idea. He would offer every foot-long sandwich, and the chain also sells a 6-inch version, on Saturday and Sunday for $5. It's about a dollar less than the usual price. Frankel, the guy who owns these franchises, says, I like round numbers. He's a brusque New Yorker who moved to Miami in 72, and he owned a drugstore before opening his first Subway outlet in 88. He says customers liked his round number too. Instead of dealing with idle employees and weak sales, Frankel suddenly had lines out the door. Sales rose by double digits. Nobody, least of all Frankel himself, knew at the time he had stumbled upon a concept that had unexpectedly morphed from a short-term gimmick into a national phenomenon that has turbocharged the whole Subway company's performance. Jeffrey Davis, the president of restaurant consultancy Sandelman & Associates, says there are only a few times when a chain has been able to scramble up the whole industry, and this is one of them. It's huge. In fact, the $3.8 billion in sales generated nationwide by the $5 footlong alone placed it among the top 10 fast food brands in the U.S. for the year ending in August. And it puts the $5 menu success just a notch behind Yum! Brands, KFC, and ahead of Arby's and Domino's Pizza. It helped privately held Subway of Milford, Connecticut, lift their U.S. sales by 17%. In a year, at a time when most restaurant chains, except for industry leader McDonald's, were seriously struggling. Pretty neat, huh? And last but not least, job numbers break down by sector. This is from Yahoo Finance. The latest overall job number showed a loss of only 11,000 jobs in November, and unemployment rate fell to 10%. The September and October numbers were revised as well to losses of 139,000 and 111,000 respectively, which probably means nothing. But there's been 7.25 million jobs lost since the beginning of this recession. So far, the peak has been 741,000 in January of this year. And in the 2001 recession, monthly losses hit a high of 325. And the recession prior in 1991, it peaked at 306,000. So we're double that. But one of the things that has changed is sectors that have been adding jobs. The worst hit was manufacturing and construction, but the services sector returned to job growth and also the health services category. So construction and manufacturing both lost a combined 75,000, but services are up 58,000. Wholesale, retail, transportation, utilities, information and media, financial services, and professional and business services are all up. So is education and health services. Leisure is down, but guess what? The government, who is supposedly bankrupt, brought in 7,000 new employees. We will be right back with the second half of Unlock Your Wealth Radio right after this.
Are you a referral partner of the Unlock Your Wealth radio program? Would you like to promote your products and your services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. Call now at 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Reach the people who need your help the most with the Unlock Your Wealth radio show today.
Hi, I'm Tony Stewart, driver of the number 14 Office Depot Old Spice Chevrolet, and you're listening to Heather Wagonhaws on Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagonhaws, Unlock Your Wealth Radio, and managing your credit is not mission impossible. No siree, Bob. And to prove that, we have a fabulous guest, Jim Randall, who is going to bring us the skinny on. Jim is an award-winning author of The Skinny on the Housing Crisis, which was recently awarded the prestigious Robert Bress Book Award by NARRE, which is an association of 650 journalists. His first book, The Real Estate Game, was published in 86, and he received national recognition from investors and critics from around the world. His second book, Confessions of a Real Estate Entrepreneur, was published in 2006 and reached number one in several Amazon.com categories. He is a regular contributor to the Huffington Post, has appeared on the ABC, Fox, CNBC, Fox Business News, Inside Edition, Better.tv, and Cablevision, as well as numerous radio shows, and is an expert on the subjects of real estate and financial achievement. And now he makes his appearance on our show as the creator of the Skinny On series, which offers information in an entertaining story format on some of the most important personal finance and achievement issues facing us today. Welcome to the broadcast, Jim. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I'm so excited that you are here today. Tell us a little bit about how you got the Skinny on Credit going.
Well, I guess you'd call serial entrepreneur, Heather. I went to law school, but immediately after law school, I started buying and selling real estate, commercial real estate, meaning anything other than one's own home. Investment real estate might be a better term. Then I started creating businesses, buying and selling small businesses. So I'm a serial entrepreneur. And in 2008, after being a lifelong reader, predominantly of nonfiction books, trying to learn as much as I could about my respective businesses, I decided to start my own publishing company because I concluded that there's just too much today. There's too much information for people, not enough time to absorb it. People are information overloaded and time starved. So I created a book series called The Skinny On. We now have 8 books, one of them The Skinny On Credit Card. I mean, this might be an appropriate time, by the way. I asked your producer whether you'd like us to offer your listeners a free ebook of one of our books, and she thought that would be great. So one of our books called The Skinny On Willpower, How to Develop Self-Discipline, which is our best-selling book, we're offering to your listener free as an ebook. They just have to send an email to willpower@theskinnyon.com. I'll repeat it, willpower@theskinnyon.com. And as long as they do that before midnight on Monday, December 7, they'll get a link to a free ebook, the Willpower book, and the reviews and response to that book has just been phenomenal. Any event, The Skinny on Credit Cards is another one of our books. It's a synthesis of everything that's been written or taught about credit cards.
it's an exciting topic, no less. And I am, like you, with information overload and just crappy quality of information, said, I need to start a publishing company to disseminate stuff that's of value. I've felt exactly the same way. You could probably be my twin brother or something. I never made it through law school, though, but I did want to.
Well, you're smarter than I. Law school's a long three-year grind. But the point is to give people, it's just so many authors use 10 words when they could use 5, or 2 pages when they could use 2 paragraphs. What we're trying to do, and hopefully you'll take a look at our website, theskinnyon.com, what we're trying to do is give people in an understandable, quick read, and hopefully entertaining format, information that will help them in their lives. It won't take a lot of their time. We've done all the homework. We've read everything. We've talked to all the experts. And we've put it out there. If you haven't seen our stuff, it's Stick People Stories, kind of an updated hieroglyphic, if you will, which is one of the most basic forms of communication ever. And we've done it in a story format. And, Heather, I'm proud to say that the responses we're getting from bloggers and reviewers and educators and journalists has been so overwhelming that we just finished our 8th book, which is called The Skinny on Time Management, and this time next year we hope to have about 50 of these and really give people good, hard, solid information in a real easy-to-understand fashion.
That's what people need. With the overload of information that there is out there, for someone to synthesize it and say, okay, tell me what I need to know and tell me how I can apply it to my life today. How does this benefit me in a short, concise way? And that's one of the things that I believe that a lot of the people that attend my workshops and seminars seem to feel. It's like, you know, I've heard this over and over, but it never clicked until the way you presented it. It just kind of made sense this way. And sometimes I think authors get caught up in hearing themselves speak or write, and so they pontificate. And, again, with an economy of words that could have been 5, they made it 10 to 15.
Yeah, one of the great stories, we include this in the introduction to our book, going back to the 17th century, a great French scientist by the name of Pascal wrote a long letter to a friend of his, and at the end of the letter he said, gee, I'm sorry for the length of this letter. It would have been much shorter if I had more time. And the point is that sometimes volume is just a result of people spewing and spewing and spewing instead of respecting the reader's time and making the effort to make it clear, concise, simplified, understandable. That's what we're trying to do, Heather, and we've heard just what you heard about our books. We've heard people say, you know, I never really got this credit card stuff or this housing crisis stuff, or I never really understood the mechanics of self-discipline. Now I do. And to us, that's like, somebody having a birthday party. When we hear that from a reader, we get excited and celebrate, and we're hearing it now almost every day.
Well, tell us some kind of interesting, juicy tidbits that, since today's topic is Create Credit, we're on that key for this week. And
okay,
tell us a couple tidbits about credit cards. I've been giving credit card stats all show, but tell us some tidbits that are valuable to our listeners.
Well, let's talk about credit cards and credit scores. Your listeners probably know that there's a new law. It's coming in February of 2010, Credit Card Responsibility Act, Credit Card Holder. The shorthand is Credit Card Holder's Bill of Rights. And that law will change the way credit card companies deal with credit card holders. For the first time in 50 years, it will tilt the balance of power to the credit card holder versus the credit card issuer. The problem is that law doesn't take effect until February 2010. So credit card companies right now are making it very difficult for credit card holders, raising rates, cutting back limits, increasing fees, diminishing the import of reward programs. One of the pieces of advice I'd give to your listener is use this opportunity to enhance, boost, improve your credit score. Because the stronger your credit score, the more leverage you have right now with the credit card companies. It's all statistics to them. They don't know you from Adam. They just know you as a credit card history and a credit card score. And we give a bunch of advice in our Skinny on Credit Card book, but let me give you a summary of some of the things we say. First of all, obviously, the two big factors in your credit score, which runs from 300 to 850, that's called your FICO score, the two big factors are your payment history, how you pay your bills, number one, and number two, how much debt you have against available debt. Well, category one, how you pay your bills, of course, if you can pay them more quickly and pay down debt more quickly, great, but that's, you know, if people could do that, they don't need to turn into your show or my show. What people are generally looking for are some ideas. Well, how can I improve my credit score? Tell me something I don't already know. Well, one of the things most people don't know is debt to available debt. That's a big deal in terms of your credit score. And there are several ways to improve that. Number one, if you have a lot of debt on one card, so that you have, let's say, a credit line of, I'll make it up, $2,000, and you got $1,800 in debt, and if you can spread that among several cards, the FICO score system doesn't like it when you have a lot of debt on one card, but if you have that same amount of debt spread over three or four cards, that's one way to improve your credit score. Number two, there are some companies, people don't know about these, that can help you improve your credit score simply because they provide information to the credit reporting bureaus that the credit reporting bureaus don't otherwise get. For example, if you're paying your rent on time, the credit bureau doesn't get that unless it becomes a problem. Well, let me give you the name of one company for your listener. They should go to this website, www.prbc.com. And what that company does is provide information about things that you are paying on time, like your rent, like your phone bill, like your utilities. That can enhance your credit score. And thirdly, there's something called piggybacking. That's when you get on a credit card account of a parent, a relative, a friend. There has to be some connection. And you then are enhanced by their credit history. So your credit score can go up simply by being aligned with that person's credit history. Now, you have to have their permission to do that, and you don't want to abuse the relationship and go out and start charging a bunch of money on somebody else's credit card history and account. But those are three ways that in a fairly short period of time, you can enhance your credit score. Enhancing your credit score puts you in a better position of leverage with the credit card companies. And that's what you need right now, today, before this new law comes into effect in a couple of months.
Specifically about this new law, because I have mixed feelings about this law. I understand that, you know, that some of the exorbitant fees and things that credit card companies are charging are unnecessary and just profit makers for them. But, you know, I guess, maybe, I don't know, it's because I was a lender for a long time, but if you promise to pay me, shouldn't I be allowed to collect that? I mean,
yeah.
That's just, some of the things in there that don't make sense to me.
Well, let's talk about that. By the way, we only have a few minutes, but let me tell you how I would answer that. The answer is yes. If you loan money to me, I should pay you, but let me give you why I think this new law is important. I think you as a lender should be fair in disclosing to me what are the terms of the loan. I think it shouldn't come in fine print that's microscopic and hard to read. I don't think you should make deceitful offers, you know, 0% for 12 months, and then with little fine print and asterisks, you qualify what you're doing. I don't think fees should be outrageous. The reality is that, in my opinion, Heather, and you may not agree, but in the balance of power between a lender and a borrower, the lender has about five times the power that the borrower does. So I think that the government, in this law and other regulations, needs to even the playing field a little bit, because there are lenders, and your particular bank or credit card company that you work for might not have been one of these, but there are lenders that take advantage of people. They will, for example, if I have a credit card with a $1,000 limit, and let's say I make three charges in a given morning, one of which puts me over the line, the other two wouldn't. many of these credit card companies, they'll hit the line with the first charge, even if it didn't come sequentially first in time, so that all three of the charges are over the credit line and three times $35 per credit card limit excess is $105, when if they would have reversed the order, and maybe if they would have hit the line with the first two small charges, not the third, then there would have only been one over-the-line fee. These are the kinds of games I think some of these lenders, not all, some of them play, and it's not fair, it's not right. That's my opinion.
Well, and I think that universal default is kind of another thing. That universal default reminds me of gossipy people. If you and I have had fair, open, and honest discourse, then I should be judged by my discourse with you, not because you heard down the road that maybe I didn't make friends with somebody down the road and I had an issue with them down the road. And universal default, I think checking somebody's credit and finding negative information on an account that's completely not related to yours, and then you being penalized when you have had a good relationship, you know, things go bad. You dispute something and it doesn't get resolved, and then the lender tattoos your credit, and all of a sudden something that had nothing to do with me, maybe it was fraud or a refund that
could
wasn't posted properly.
Could be identity theft or who knows what. Yeah.
Pardon me?
It could be identity theft. Could be a problem that maybe it was your cause, maybe it wasn't. But the problem with universal default is it's not related to the credit card account. It could be something like your phone bill that you're disputing. But if the credit card company learns of it through your credit reporting bureau, they can jack up your rate. And of course, that's
going
to go away.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that I think should be regulated. Because if I'm treating you fairly and I'm making my payments and I'm doing what I agree to do, then that's what I should be judged on after I've established a relationship with you.
No, I agree. But that's one of the benefits of the new law. It's going to do away with universal default. And that, to me, is another example of just an unfair relationship. That's what the new law is trying to even up.
Right. And I agree with getting rid of that, because I think that that's just kind of – that's not a good deal. Because it may not necessarily be an indication of things to come if somebody has, you know, a discrepancy in some other area of the credit. If I'm dealing with you fairly and I'm meeting the terms of our agreement, then that's how I should be judged after you give me my credit extension.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Let me give you another example of where I think the new law is important. Everybody gets these offers in the mail or online, etc., and many of them say fixed rate offer. Well, when you really read the fine print, it's not a fixed rate. All it means is it's not tied to a variable rate. It does not mean, and this is the important point, it does not mean the credit card company can't increase the rate whenever they want, whether it's universal default or for any reason, you know, the weather isn't nice. They it's not fixed in the sense that they can't change the rate. It's fixed in the sense that it doesn't float with a variable rate which goes up and down. Well, that's confusing to 99% of the people. In fact, some law professor at Harvard Law School said, you know, I'm a law professor for 30 years. I can't understand these credit card agreements. Well, the average person on the street is very confused by this stuff. And that's what I mean by deceitful or confusing, misleading type of marketing or disclosures.
Right. This is what it is. Allow the consumer to make an effective choice, not just based on your inducements, but on all of the obligations that person has to perform to, not just the perks that you're trying to seduce them with. Well, I appreciate you taking your time and joining us, and certainly a gracious offer of your ebook. What other resources can people find on your website, and what is your website?
Well, our website is www.theskinnyon, all one word, theskinnyon.com. And they'll see all our books. They'll see some CDs we've recently produced. They'll be able to read. I'm one of the contributors for the Huffington Post. They can read past blogs and so forth. So hopefully if they go to our site, they can learn a lot. And after they read this ebook, I think they'll conclude, wow, this is really cool stuff, and I want to learn more. And that's what we're hoping people will decide after they've read our free offer.
Well, it was certainly great to have you on. We need to have you on again when we can spend more time with you. But for those of you who are driving around and don't happen to have a pen, you can always find all of our previous guests on our website at www.unlockyourwealth.com. Thanks so much for joining us
Thank you, Heather.
And we have more Unlock Your Wealth Radio coming up with our Millionaire Minute and Nuts and Bolts right after this.
Stay tuned for the second half of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio with the Keys to Riches, right after this. Has your cell phone or iPod ever run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Well, now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power, or charge your device right now on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis. KinesisIndustries.com.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X from Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Diradori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Diradori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Diradori. Call Diradori now at 480-661-9662.
Are you a referral partner of the Unlock Your Wealth radio program? Would you like to promote your products and your services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. Call now at 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Reach the people who need your help the most with the Unlock Your Wealth radio show today.
Karen Durham here. You probably recognize me as your segment host for News by the Numbers. Did you know I am also one of the certified NLP practitioners and a financial coach here at the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation? The most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Hi, I'm Tony Stewart, driver of the number 14 Office Depot Old Spice Chevrolet, and you're listening to Heather Wagenhals on Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
If I were a rich man, diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-dum, all day long I'd be
If I were a wealthy man,
welcome back to the radio show. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. It's that time again. Are you all ready? Yes, it is. It's that time for the Millionaire Minute. In this segment, we will crawl into the heads of top millionaire thinkers and put out 60 seconds of tools you can incorporate into your life right now, today. And from bluefur.com, many of us aspire to be millionaires, whether it be through an internet venture or some lucrative real estate investment. There are many ways that you can go about making money, and here are a few interesting facts that might surprise you. Number one, the average age of Forbes 400 wealthiest individuals is 63. What this means is that if you want to rake in the mega bucks, there's a good chance that it will take you several years to do it. This doesn't mean that you can't become a millionaire before the age of 63. Bill Gates can easily attest to that fact. But it does speak to the demographic of the world's richest, whether the increased wealth is due to having more wisdom or simply because they had more years to amass the fortune. That's up for discussion. Number two, there are more than 7 million millionaires in the world. The Millionaire Club is not nearly as exclusive as it used to be. Realistically, $1 million doesn't go as far anymore, and the average price of a single-family detached home in Vancouver is well over $700,000. Throw in some furniture and a fund to cover some basic expenses, and you're easily into the seven-figure mark. If there are more than 7 million millionaires in the world, it means there is about one millionaire for 1,000 people. Now the Millionaire Club doesn't sound so exclusive, does it? Number three, 80% of millionaires, 80, drive second-hand cars. If you think used cars are only for people who can't afford new cars, think again. Millionaires got where they are today partly because they know where they can save a dollar without having to sacrifice anything. Granted, the second-hand cars of millionaires might cost more than your home, but the saving of money is still the saving of money, and there's nothing wrong with driving a second-hand car. Number four, if you stack 1 million $1 bills, U.S., it would be approximately 361 feet high and weigh exactly 1 ton. Just a little tidbit there. So fully and completely integrate these new facts now. See yourself in this way. Look forward into the future and watch how differently people will respond to you, and imagine yourself with these successes already. Create some affirmations with these tools as well to reinforce what you have just integrated into your personality, and that is your Millionaire Minute. Now, I forgot to do this at the top of the hour because I was busy focusing on our technology snafus. So I would like to bring to you this week's trivia question. Now, for those of you joining us for the first time, we have a trivia question every week, and you can win one of three ways. You can call in to win at area code 718-508-9002. You can chat in to win, which is currently being moderated, our chat room, by the ever-popular producer, Karen Gurm. And you can email in to win at trivia@unlockyourwealth.com, at trivia@unlockyourwealth.com. And you can win fabulous prizes if you happen to have the correct answer. Now, we have a free credit report review that could be up to a $150 value. You can get identity theft protection, you can get personal financial coaching, or you can get an autographed book from one of our previous show guests. We have a litany of things to choose from for the person who answers correctly. Now, we always take our questions from a previous broadcast, so that makes it easy. if you're a regular listener. If you were not or were unable to catch the last broadcast, no problem. Subscribe to the eZine and you can win too. Simply send us an email at ezine@unlockyourwealth.com and we will sign you up for the eZine. And you will receive the trivia question before everybody else hears it on the show, and you'll have a chance to download a previous broadcast from iTunes or our website at www.unlockyourwealth.com and listen for the answer. And this question is taken from the midweek update. What are the economic benefits of having a Starbucks in your hometown? If you recall, on Wednesday's Minutes on Your Money, we talked about the value of having a Starbucks in your hometown. Name one of the economic benefits of that. And again, call in, chat in, or email in to win, 718-508-9002, or sign up at the Blog Talk Radio show page, friend the show, and jump into the chat room, or simply email us at trivia@unlockyourwealth.com. if you think you have the winning answer. And now to move forward with today's key of creating credit. Credit is an important consideration. Do I take on credit? If I do, how much, what type, and if I use credit, what are the ramifications of that going to be? Now, credit is not necessarily your panacea to wealth, but it certainly can be your detractor. And what I mean by that is by having credit, it's not going to make you a millionaire, but abusing credit will certainly keep you impoverished. And so we have to carefully consider our credit in our entire financial picture. Now, we've been clipping through these keys quite briskly, and for those of you who are joining us for the first time, thank you again for being a part of our show today, and know that the Keys to Riches is a baker's dozen of financial concepts that not only teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money, but it also gives you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, reduce debt, save and invest, building wealth through real estate, all while transforming our current financial habits into healthy money management skills. And we've clipped through a ton of keys. We started first at the beginning of this season with acceptance and affirmation, which is where we assumed responsibility for our actions, good, bad, or indifferent, and then we started building up our self-esteem and our worth to become financially independent. Then we took action and started evaluating how we were going to set up our finances for the future by assessing our current spending habits. Then in Dreams with Deadlines, we took and created and envisioned our future and then put pen to paper and started assigning goals and timelines to that. And the difference between a dream and a goal is simply a goal is a dream that has a deadline. And then we learned about knowledge is power, not knowing is powerful, recognizing our strengths, acknowledging our weaknesses, and either educating ourselves in those areas that we are unfamiliar or delegating them to a financial or insurance professional to make sure that we are covered in those categories, because ignorance is not bliss, folks. Then we took emotion out of the picture and we learned about how we make ineffective decisions when we're emotionally engaged and how we can stop that pattern and interrupt it to create more effective decision making for us financially as well as all other areas of our lives. Then we hoped for the best and planned for the worst and made sure that if we were not fully covered in a particular category that we identified any risks and mitigated them by ensuring our success. Then we broke the budget, because budgeting and dieting are the same thing. We go on to and off of them, and it's just this big roller coaster. But we decided to get off the roller coaster and create a healthy savings and spending plan instead. And then last week, we talked about no seasonal exceptions. After we've gone this far, we can't allow birthdays and holidays and that peer pressure we talked about in Minutes on Your Money today influence us in such a manner that it becomes financially detrimental. We learned how manners and good grace and the rules of etiquette play in our favor when we are financially challenged during a time of gift giving. And here we are now, we are considering the next element because people always have interesting perceptions of what this element is. Credit is a privilege. It is not a right. It is certainly not an entitlement. And your credit line is not your money. That is where the confusion lays for so many people. It is somebody else's money that they are giving you the privilege to use for a period of time. And for that privilege, we pay a fee. It is called interest. Now, when we use our credit excessively, when we abuse that privilege, when we don't make our payments, or we don't pay on time, that's when we have challenges. And if we have robbed Peter to pay Paul with our credit because we became unemployed and felt like we'd become employed soon, and then didn't, and now we're making minimum payments, and we've escalated our debt to such a proportional rate that we are unable to maintain those minimum payments, and the fees and stuff are piling up, we just have to take a step back and say, what do we need to do? What are my choices? And there are a ton of them out there. Just look on the internet if you don't believe me. And you can do a variety of things. But ultimately, we have to understand what credit is and, most importantly, what it isn't. It is a privilege. And what do we know about, or you've heard, I'm sure, the common joke or cliche, is that lenders lend money when we don't need it. And that's one of the points that our guest was trying to impress upon us, and Jim was letting us know that that ratio of credit available to our current balance is so important with our credit score because that shows how dutiful we are when it comes to managing our money. So what we need to do is how do we change our perceptions toward credit and what are those perceptions and what do they need to be and what happens now if we have gotten too far and we've had a reel it back or we've had a foreclosure or we've let some debt go bad. What do we do now? Well, we've got to work to establish our credit. And let me just explain to you about what your credit is. Your credit in the form of a credit report is a collection of all obligations from participating merchants that choose, and credit reporting is a voluntary system, that choose to participate in the repository process where they can, when considering a credit extension for you, look at your previous behavior with other credit extensions, determine if they want to. In return for this voluntary participation, they then post your and all other credit card holders' performance. And this is whether or not it's a credit card, a car loan, a student loan, a mortgage payment, a signature loan, whatever the debt is to be repaid, they put this, they report, and in turn, they're able to view reports when you apply for credit with them. In addition to your credit report, you have something else called a credit score. Here's the big misconception about credit scoring. Credit scoring, that number is just a snapshot at one moment in time. It is a moving object because the system of credit reporting is voluntary and people report at different times. Smaller companies may not report as often because they have to pay somebody to do it and that takes time and that's money and they may not have the resources. So smaller lenders may not report monthly. They may report quarterly or only when you go bad and default. So it all depends on the lender. Every lender has its own criteria. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing because that ensures your ability to maintain your credit and to work on your credit diligently. And so as such, you can make a payment, you can make a charge, and depending on when they report is when it's going to hit your credit report. And so that's why your credit score changes. You could pull your credit every day and get a different number. Now, it may be fairly consistent regarding what information is on there. If you max out your card and that balance posts and your payment hasn't hit by the time they report, then it's got the balance without the payment, so your score is going to go down that day. But if you have just made your payment and haven't made any new charges, so that low balance is what gets reported on one day, you'll have a higher credit score. And the way the scoring works is it's a statistical model. So if you ever apply for credit and somebody says you're turned down because of this, that, or the other thing, and they give you a point value, get up and walk away. They're lying to you. There is no way to affix a specific point value to anything that occurs in your credit report because it's a statistical formula. And the way it's calculated is there are 85 factors that go into your credit score. And they look at those 85 factors and then evaluate what's gone in your credit report. And then they evaluate it over everybody else's credit report that has similar credit obligations, similar histories. Okay, and then that's how they come up with that number, and that's considered your rate of default. The higher the number, between 3 and 850, the less likely you are to default. The lower the number, the more likely you are to default. That's how the scoring model works. Now, there's 85 factors that go into that score, but only three are really significant. And of the 85, three are more than half of your score. 30% of your credit score is based on-time payments. So how do you get your credit score to improve by 30%? Start paying your bills on time. The next category that's the biggest, it's even bigger than that one, 35% of your credit score is based on open and available credit. So like Jim gave as an example, if you have a $1,000 credit card and a $100 balance, that means you have $900 available to you to go out and spend. That shows a frugal use of your credit. Now, if you have a $1,000 limit and you have a $900 balance, you only have $100 available. So how can you improve your credit score dramatically? By paying down your balances. Don't just pay the minimum payment. Pay those balances down. And that's what we need to be focusing on. And then 15% of your score is tenure. How long have you had accounts open? And the only thing that counts toward tenure is open and active accounts. So when you get to, like, say you're at a car dealership and they're notorious for this, and I'm going to pick on them, they say, oh, you have too many accounts open. And so they encourage you to close all those accounts that have zero balances. They've just crushed your credit score by 30%. Because having the open and available credit to you was 35% of your score. And so they just crushed your score by talking you out of those accounts, okay? And those are the other ones that also try to tell you they assign point values. They tell you that inquiries cost so many points to your credit score, so you don't go shopping the loan. That's what they're trying to do. And they don't want you to leave that dealership without a new car, so they take and they tell you this to scare you so you feel like, oh, well, he just pulled my credit. I better buy here today, buy now. And, you know, a millionaire wouldn't have done that because if you just listen to the Millionaire Minute, we talked about them all buying secondhand cars. So that disproves people's theories, oh, well, I need a new car so I'll have lower maintenance. Well, they all run great. And one of the best things is auto manufacturers have these warranties that are transferable. So if you were the second owner of a car, the first guy ate the depreciation and you get a relatively new car, and you still get the warranty, so you're not going to have any issues, but you saved a ton of cash. How great is that? So anyway, so I'm just picking on those car guys. So you've got those three factors that make up 80% of your credit score. So those are the three that you got to make sure that you're paying attention to. Now, I have a little bonus quiz question for a free financial coaching session and a free credit report review. The coaching session is a $250 value, and the credit report review is up to a $150 value for a married couple, because there's no such thing as joint credit reports, so each of you would have an individual report. And the question simply is, there's 85 factors that go into a credit score. There are two factors that don't go into your score, but people are convinced are part of your score. What are those two factors that people think are in there but are not? So, again, if you want to call in to win, 718-508-9002, 718-508-9002. Now, given this, and our goal is to be able to build wealth, so we need to reduce our bad debt, and when I say bad debt, debt that's for material possessions, debt that's for wants, not needs, and figure out what we need to do to get our credit profile in line so we can acquire good debt and leverage ourselves appropriately to build wealth. And that's by investing using mortgages as our tools to have other people build our wealth for us. So what is our ideal credit profile based on underwriting guidelines? Well, if we wanted to go with a conforming conventional loan, that means we've had some credit experience in the past. What they're going to want to see is four trade lines, which are just any open and available accounts, credit cards, car payments, car loans, previous mortgages, student loans, whatever. But four of them for a minimum of 24 months with no late, okay? Score is a factor, but this credit quality is going to be more important. You could have other things that are goofing up your score, but the bigger part of the puzzle that's more important is your credit quality. And that is, even if you've goofed up, if you start today in 24 months, you can be mortgage credit worthy. Now, you still have those other layers of risk that you have to satisfy, ability to repay the loan, and that the piece of property you're buying is worth it. But the biggest consideration is, where's the credit? That's where the emphasis is. So maybe you've made mistakes, but guess what? It's not an indictment of who you are as a person. It's just, this is how I've paid my bills in the past. These are the issues I've had. But for the last 2 years, I've been super consistent. Now, it's even easier if you are a first-time home buyer or a repeat home buyer that wants to use an FHA loan or a VA loan, because those underwriting standards are a little bit looser, less money down, and less underwriting criteria. Instead of four trade lines, you only need two trade lines for 24 months with no late. So that makes it super easy. So those are your targets with what is in your credit report. Can I pay my bills on time, consistently, for 24 months, no late? The second you want to add on that is, can I get my debt-to-income ratio underneath 10%? Okay? Because all your debts, like we talked about in the first hour, plus alimony, child support, separate maintenance payments, go into that ratio, and they're going to add it to your housing ratio to come up with your affordability. And if your debts are more than 10% of your total monthly income gross, what's going to happen is it's going to reduce your mortgage affordability. So if you were able to have buying power, let's say, for example, and you were able to have a $1,000 mortgage, and I just use these numbers because it makes it simple for me in my head. Let's say you could qualify for $1,000 worth of mortgage if your debt was under that 10%. But let's say it's not. Let's say your debt is 20% of your income. Now, you're not going to be able to afford a $1,000 mortgage. Maybe you're only going to be able to afford a $600 or $700 mortgage, because you don't get to max out your mortgage housing ratio and then add the debt on top of it. Your total combined debt, mortgages, and debt payments are what's going to come off of that back-end ratio number. And so, as you heard, Fannie Mae has reduced those ratios, and they've altered those. So you've got to be able to fly under that radar, or you're not going to get a mortgage. So in addition to our credit quality, here's where our credit score plays a factor. We want to whittle down those balances, and we want to whittle down the balances that have those high interest rates. And those are some of the challenges that we have, because what do I pay down? What do I pay first? How do I set this up? And those are the considerations that we have to make. So how you can do this is by calling in to win either the trivia question, or you can call in and win or email in your answer for the bonus question that I asked about what are the two factors that aren't a part of your credit score, but most people think they are. And I have mentioned it on a previous broadcast in a previous season. So if you want to be that studious and go back and research it, you can. So, but if you can answer that, we can show you how to do that with your free financial coaching session. So that's part of the value. So for our nuts and bolts this week, we have our key statement, our key affirmation, and key action item. So our key statement simply is, while I know my credit score has value, the quality of my credit is just as important. And I know that regardless of what my credit looks like today, I can always make it better for tomorrow. I can always make it better for tomorrow. Now, our key affirmation item for this week is, I am great at managing my personal credit obligations. I am great at managing my personal credit obligations. And the affirmations are very important to us because they help convince us and that inner curmudgeon that we are worthy of our goals and we act as if. And so we want to say our affirmations at first before we go to bed so our subconscious mind can grab a hold of these affirmations and work on them all night long while we're having restful and restorative sleep. So it can create new neural pathways to be able to bring these affirmations to fruition for us. Then the next time we are going to say our affirmations is going to be during or when we wake up in the morning. And the first thing we're going to do is we're going to focus our conscious mind on our affirmations so we know exactly what our goals are for every day, because long-term goals need to be right there in front of us every day, because if we don't see them all the time because they're so far out, we might lose sight of them. So we say them first thing in the morning to focus our conscious mind on bringing those to fruition. And any time we encounter negativity throughout the day, we want to say our affirmations, whether it's a poor exchange with a coworker, a spouse, a sibling, a parent, a kid, you name it. A customer, a client, your child's principal at the school, whoever it may be, because what you think about, you bring about. And if you're dwelling on that negativity or that negative encounter or confrontation, then it's going to throw you off your game. So you want to pull your affirmations out and say them again to refocus your conscious mind on the positive things that you were trying to bring into your life, because what you think about, you bring about. And then anytime you feel like getting a refresher. So your key action item is to pull your credit report. And for those of you who are unaware, the FACT Act has now provided a way for us to pull our credit report for free. And you can get one copy free per year from all three bureaus, and more often if you have become a victim of fraud. Simply, the best way and the safest way to obtain your free credit report is by calling the toll-free number set up by the three major credit reporting bureaus, and that's 877-322-8228, 877-322-8228. You can also visit www.annualcreditreport.com to get a truly free credit report. But you must be careful because typos and clone websites are all around that annualcreditreport.com. So if you spell it wrong or you use the wrong word, you're going to be at a phishing website that may be trying to pull your identity theft. So the best way to do it is to pull it over the telephone and to obtain your credit in that fashion. And then you want to review all of the items on the credit report. Make sure that, in fact, that they are yours. Even if your credit is good, you could still have somebody writing on your good name and establishing credit in your name, and you could also be a victim of identity theft. They don't have to trash your credit to be a victim of identity theft. So make sure, in fact, all the items that are being reported are true, accurate, and up-to-date, and you want to do this annually at minimum. If you are a regular online shopper or user of credit and debt or are an investor, you want to be pulling it more often, and there's a fee associated with doing that, but you want to pull it more often because you want to make sure you understand what's being said about you before you apply for any major purchase that requires financing, because you want to know what they're going to see before they see it, so if it is inaccurate, you have the time to get it corrected. And I usually recommend 2 months beforehand. And the bigger problem isn't identity theft where they trash your credit. It's identity theft where the credit where they're paying the bill. But the problem is it wrecks your debt ratios. And it shows that you owe more than you truly do, which will affect the financing that you're applying for. So that's it. If you'd like a worksheet on what you need to do, we have a free credit report guide from the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation. If you want one, please send us an email at credit, WKS@unlockyourwealth.com. Credit, WKS@unlockyourwealth.com. And we will send you a free credit report guide that tells you how to pull it and what you need to look for. And it will give you some dispute resolution information if you find that you have inaccuracies in your credit report. Because remember, while it's a voluntary system, it is 100% your responsibility to hold all of these reporting entities accountable. Thank you so much for joining us this week. I want to thank both of my guests for being a part of the broadcast. And also, I wish that Karen Gurm, I hope and pray that Karen Gurm does recover from her cold and that she talks about what's gone on in the stock market next week and she's healthy and well and able to join us. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, we always love to hear from you. Please visit our website and put that information in at www.unlockyourwealth.com. We have more in store next week. It's yet another key. Remember, real estate is next week's topic. So I'm so excited because as we're closing out the year, we're closing out the keys, and the good stuff is still yet to come. Thanks again for joining us this Saturday, and we will look forward to chatting with you again on Wednesday.
I've had it up to here, listening to a small segment of people trying to put down America. America is the greatest land on earth, and we ought to be proud of what we have. I'm proud of America. I'm proud of our people, and I'm going to prove it. We're American and damn proud of it.
Frankly, I'm getting a little ticked off.
Go to hell.